is Thomas? And we're going to think about doubt and belief. We know a few things about Thomas from John's Gospel. We know after Jesus has been called to raise Lazarus from the dead, Thomas is very enthusiastic. He says, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's in danger. Thomas is aware of this. And Thomas says, let's go with him so we can die with him. That's not a particularly lack of faithy statement. That's quite a committed kind of statement. And I think Thomas gets a bad rap as someone who is doubting Thomas, as if that's the sum of all he is. He's not. The first time we meet him, he is very determined. He's going with Jesus, and if he dies, he dies. That's the point. And then during the Last Supper, Jesus is explaining how he's going to build a mansion, and there are going to be rooms, and the disciples cannot follow him at the moment, but they will follow him later. And he's explaining the future kingdom of God and explaining how he will ascend to heaven. And Thomas doesn't go, well, that's really stupid sounding. He goes, if we don't know where you're going, how are we going to follow you? He's saying, I want more specific instructions, please. Don't leave me hanging on the instructions front. He is very committed. He is so committed, in 72 AD, he gets martyred in India. He is not an unbeliever. So what happened in that room when Jesus first appeared to the disciples? Thomas is not there, and he comes back, and he sees his friends. His friends who are super excited. And the Greek is the active tense. So they are kids in the back seat of a car going, are we nearly there yet? Are we nearly there yet? Except it's, we just saw Jesus, we just saw Jesus, we just saw Jesus. And that is all they can say. And that is all they can do. And they are hyped. And Thomas is there going, well, one of two things has just happened, isn't it? Either all my friends are crazy, or the omnipotent power, the omnipotent Son of God, has appeared specifically when I wasn't here. What did I do? Why was I left out of that? Why don't I get to share? Or all my friends are crazy. Two options. And that first one's not completely out of the realm of possibility, is it? They're locked in an upper room, terrified of the world outside, that people are going to come and try and kill them. They've just lost Jesus. They're grieving and scared. And there are these rumours that Jesus is appearing to other people who aren't them. So maybe they need to see Jesus, thinks Thomas. Maybe that need and that grief and that fear has created this imagination of Jesus. I'm not going to believe it until I see it for myself, until I touch him for myself, because with all the best will in the world, guys, and I have wandered around the desert for 3 years with you, you might be a bit bonkers right now. Just a little bit. Maybe. So Thomas does have doubts, but they're perfectly reasonable doubts. They're very well-founded. We can understand them as people sort of reading the story now. So what does Thomas do? Well, he doesn't abandon his friends. Either he doesn't abandon his friends, he stays. And a week later, he's still there in that room filled with hyperactive children in the back seat of a car going, we just saw Jesus. Wasn't it amazing? Thinking, well, maybe I was left out. Maybe there was something wrong with me that I didn't get to meet Jesus when he came back. Because he knows everything. He's God. He could have come when I was here. I was only half an hour down the road. I came back later in the evening. Why didn't he stick around? What was wrong with me? He carries that doubt for a week, but he stays, and he's still there, and he keeps showing up, so that a week later, when Jesus comes again, he doesn't come with judgment for Thomas. He comes with compassion and says, I understand why you have doubts. Let me address those doubts. Let me make it better. Let me give you the answers that you seek. Let me make you whole. And he does that through touching Jesus, through that compassion of, well, you believe because you've seen. But there is a reality that we can't all see, so some people have to take it on faith. Jesus is alluding to the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. But Thomas has his doubts met. And it's not the only time we address doubts. Peter sees Jesus walking on water and says, hey, Jesus, I want to do that too. And he steps out into the storm and he has faith and off he goes. And then the storm is building around him and it's chaos and loud and he starts freaking out and he panics and he doubts and he starts to sink and he calls out to God and God rescues him. Jesus rescues him, reaches out and saves him. All through the Old Testament, we see the story of the people of Israel having doubt, moving away from God, making their own decisions, and God seeking them out, caring for them during that time of doubt, during that time of indecision, during that time of distance. So doubt is powerful. And it's important, and it's not something that we should shy away from. When we have doubt, what we have is questions. And they usually come down to a few things. It's something I don't understand, or something seems unfair, or something hurts. So I ask questions because I have doubt. And those questions allow me to do a number of things. Firstly, they allow me to develop a greater understanding of God. Secondly, of God, of his message in the scripture. Secondly, they create a space where God is able to continually reveal his truth to me, his truth for me. And thirdly, they allow me to be a critical consumer of information. When someone tells me something, I'm able to check it out and not just blindly follow. So let's think of that first one. We develop a greater understanding. It's how we own our faith for ourselves. And I think particularly if we've grown up in the church or if we've been in the church for a long time, we can see people have faith and they model their faith. And we look at it. We look at our parents modelling their faith. We look at church elders modelling their faith. And we ask questions. We ask difficult questions and we ask challenging questions. And those questions aren't because we don't believe. Those are questions that let us understand what it is that they have, what it is that they think, and make it make sense for ourselves. Those questions let us internalise our faith. The doubt lets us make our faith our own. The questions let us understand our faith for ourselves. They also mean that we're able to explain our faith better to others. Because if we understand our faith more, we can explain it better. If we can pick it apart and show, this is my testimony, and this is where I had doubt, and this is where I met God in that period of difficulty. That testimony and that witness becomes more real. It becomes something that other people can connect to us in. And in that connection, we get community. And in that community, we get a sharing of the love of God and of Christ and coming together. We are also able to answer other people's difficult questions. Sarah's not here today, but a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about faith. And she said, sometimes people have really difficult questions. And people always will have difficult questions because the world is complicated and difficult and faith is a big topic. But if we understand our faith and if we've internalized it to ourselves, we can answer what's true for us and we can approach those questions with compassion and with love. We become, as individuals and as a church, a safe space for other people to have doubts, for other people to have questions, for other people to grow closer to God and closer to that relationship with Jesus and explore their faith as their own, if we are accepting of doubt. So let's think of that second idea, that it creates a space in my life for God's ongoing revelation. And here, there's an Australian musician called, I'm not going to say her surname right because it's got too many letters in it, but Brooke Ligertwood. She's from Hillsong. And a lot of music we sing is sometimes tangentially written by her. And she was asked what her job is because she's going through change. And she said, I don't get stuck on titles. I don't want to get stuck in the now, so I'm not ready for the next. Whatever it is that God has coming for me, I want to be open to it. Whatever God is calling her to, she wants to be open to it. And she's only open to that, we're only open to that if we have questions, if we have doubt. Am I in the right place? Is this the right thing? Should I be doing this? These are all great questions. And through those questions that we ask of ourselves and that we ask of the people around us, God is able to guide us into the place that he wants to be and shape us into the people that he wants us to be. God is also really quite big. Simplistic, but true. Pretty big. A bit like physics. Go with me. When we start in primary school and we're learning science, we learn a simplified version of it. And then we get to GCSE and all of a sudden everything that we previously learned is not quite right because it looks like this. And then we get to A-level and the GCSE is also not quite right because it now looks like this. And then if you carry on through university, it looks not quite the same as it did in primary school. We have this ongoing understanding of the world. We also have an ongoing understanding of God. We create an image of God, and we question that image, and we get a greater understanding. And we do that through reading the scripture. We do that through prayer. But that understanding takes time. We're not going to understand him immediately right at the beginning, because, goodness me, that's too much for a baby Christian. We're not going to understand that fully until after, way after we've died. Paul, with his glasses darkly and then seeing in full, that's what he means. But over time, with the questions, with the doubts, we get to learn more of God. We get to see more of him, more of his love, more of his richness, and more of what he wants for us. So let's think, finally, about what God does in our doubt. He pursues us. He's not abandoning us. As long as we are like Thomas and we keep showing up. All through the Old Testament, Jesus' birth, his life, he is in pursuit of the people that God has created to bring them into relationship with him. Even Jesus' compassion for Thomas shows he is trying to bring you into relationship with him. That is his purpose. You just have to show up in the doubt, in the storm, walking on the water. So doubt is not a lack of faith, and it's not an indicator of disbelief. Doubt's a tool. It's an opportunity to grow. And it's a space for connection with other people. We're supposed to have doubt, and we're supposed to ask questions. And it's how we turn the stuff that's out there into stuff that's in here. It's how we understand, and it's how we experience God's ongoing revelation. Doubt and questions are part of discernment, working out what's important, what's true, what's God's calling and plan, what's right. God has answers to our questions if we bring them to him. We just have to stick around and listen. That's what faith is. Amen.